Hey everybody, welcome to the SleepyWire Weekend Preview Show. I am your host, Professor Chris, and with me today, I got producer Rob on the show. What's going on, man? How you doing?
Good, man. Just getting over the flu, actually, but feeling a lot better today. Finally moving around and ready to kick some week 7 ass with you.
I actually just got my flu shot yesterday.
I hope you got it in time, because that was god-awful, and I don't wish that upon really anybody.
You know, I haven't gotten it in like 10 years, because every time I used to get it, I always got the flu. But kind of figured with a pregnant wife, it was important for me to get a flu shot this year.
Yeah, I'm not generally susceptible to it either. So I generally don't do that. I don't like use hand sanitizer. I believe in building natural immunity to the germs in the world around you. But apparently I licked the wrong popsicle. I don't know.
All right, guys. Well, like I said, welcome to the Sleeper Wire show. Rob, I was going to throw in a quick question, but wasn't able to come up with anything good. So what's your favorite Halloween candy? Let's go with that.
You know, I am a big fan of the Mr. Good Bar, but somebody brought up Crackle.
We talked about this last week, didn't we?
Damn. Yes, we did.
Okay. What's your
favorite scary movie, Chris?
Oh, let's go with that. That's way better. Even though next week will be much closer to the Halloween show.
We'll start now with scary movies and get into better topics next week.
Favorite scary movie. That's a good one. You know, I don't really watch a whole lot of scary movies. I want to say, I don't know. What's yours? Maybe that'll spark something.
I have a couple, because I'm a horror movie fanatic, actually. I'm one of those horror buffs. But I would definitely say the original Poltergeist.
Real quick. So today I didn't have my morning classes. They were on fall break. So my wife was like, oh, good. You can stay in and clean the house. So I spent like 3 hours cleaning the house. And after I was done, I felt like that short little media. I was like, this house is clean.
I love her. She is so strange. What an odd woman.
So we got Poltergeist.
And I'm also, let's see. My most recent favorite is Hereditary, and I have to say, I think it's our generation's Exorcist. This movie actually disturbed me in a way that I didn't know was possible and scared me on levels that weren't previously thought of.
What's Hereditary about?
So an old matron of a family passes away, and you kind of are watching what happens after that with this family, but you know something's a bit off, and then shit gets weird, and then it gets really effing weird, and then your mind is blown, and you don't sleep for a week. I can't say much more because, like, the devil's in the details, but
okay.
It's probably one of the most unnerving movies I've ever seen in the way that you want a horror movie to be. Without being just straight torture porn, you know what I mean? Gratuitous gore and violence. It's a true mind mess.
I got you. So when I watch horror movies, I like the horror movies that are more not ghosts or monsters or anything like that. The ones that are like you could really see some sick person doing that to someone else. Like I love the Purge movies, right? Those ones are awesome. The Saw movies I think are pretty great. But I would say Devil's Rejects and House of 1,000 Corpses were like real unsettling to
me. And there's a third one coming out too.
Yeah.
Looking pretty good.
Is it called The Three? That's not it, is it?
It's something to do with three. I just saw the preview earlier today, but
yeah,
The Devil's Three or something like that.
I need to rewatch both of those. I only saw House of 1,000 Corpses once and it like messed with me. Yeah, I was like, oh, this is just, like, it's disgusting how realistic and scary it was.
That's one of the things that's one of the last movies I enjoyed that was really gruesome. And I like the way that Rob Zombie does horror. He really brings, like, a level of theatrical to something very real. Because what we don't need people is becoming desensitized to, like, sawing somebody's leg off. No. That doesn't need to happen. I'm sorry. That just, it's not okay.
So like the Hostel movies, not for you.
When I was younger, I used to love it. Now I'm just, nope. Mm-mm.
All right.
Not doing it.
All
not right. Do it.
Well, let's go ahead and get into the show here. So kicking off with some news. That was a fun little intro to the show. I'm glad we did that. Darren Waller, tight end for the Oakland Raiders, getting paid contract extension through the 2023 season. Good for him playing his way into a contract. He's actually a pretty great story coming back from drug abuse and addiction, things like that. Basically played his way out of the NFL, and now he just played his way into a big contract. So good for him getting his money. Love what he's done this season. We're going to talk more about him in a little bit. On the other side of the tight end, good news, bad news spectrum, Will Dissly tore his Achilles. He's going to be out for the rest of the season. The silver lining for this is that he did tear it relatively early into the season, so it's looking like he should be, you know, all systems go for 2020. But we'll talk about the Seahawks a little bit later. Just be aware of that. You do not have Will Dissly this week. Jaguars traded Jalen Ramsey to the Rams, got a couple first-rounders for him. So pretty good haul for both teams, I think. The Rams defense, I'm not sure if Ramsey's going to play this week. We're still unsure about that. But, you know, good for both sides here. Tyrell Williams has plantar fasciitis. Not good. It's not getting any better. Mm-hmm. We had a bunch of players not practice on Wednesday. Alvin Kamara with an ankle and knee injury. David Johnson did not practice Wednesday, but he did come back Thursday. Kittle and Marquise Brown also not practicing Wednesday. Thursday DNPs. Devontae Adams still not out there. Turf toe injury. Marquez Valdez-Scantling. Geronimo Allison. Basically, the Packers starting wide receiving core, Amari Cooper, Chris Herndon, Dede Westbrook. Any of these guys, you know, you think are going to play, Rob?
Well, unfortunately, I don't think it's going to be Devontae Adams because he just seems to be trending down every week. Like, nah, he's going to, no. Mm-mm, nope. And I'm not hearing anything good come out of the camp. I'm hoping David Johnson does George Kittle, but I don't have high hopes for Marquise Brown. Dede Westbrook is kind of a wish-wash as well. So do I have any strong feelings for anyone playing? No. No, I don't. It's not a good week for that.
Let me ask you a trade advice question about Devontae Adams. So I've got a money league. It's my only money league with the people in the brewery. PPR, Superflex. I had the 12th overall, so I started with Adams and Julio. And Adams not being great. I also have Terry McLaurin and Robbie Anderson, though. And Greg Olsen is my tight end. Would you trade Adams for Waller?
At this point, yeah, I think I would. Absolutely. Just because you're kind of trading Devontae Adams on name value. Nobody has a timetable for his return right now, and he doesn't sound particularly confident about it. So I kind of like that Waller is going to play every week but his bye week unless something unforeseen happens.
Yeah, when Waller's already passed his bye.
Yeah, no, good point. Yep. So you got Waller rest of season. And how is the Raiders' schedule coming up into the playoffs, I guess, would be the thing that I would want to look at there. Do you have you know, the tight end that you want going into the end? And I'm trying to look this up really quick and also talk at the same time. I don't know if I'm
I was hoping you would keep talking so I could look it up. So 13, 14, 15, 16, he's got at Chiefs, Tennessee, Jacksonville, and then at Chargers.
So
it's,
I mean,
not easy.
You feel like, no, but you feel like Waller has been the only reliable target there, so I mean, they're basically using him like a wide receiver one. A bit. I mean, they split him out wide, play him in the slot, tight. He's been a fantastic tight end for them as a receiving option.
So, given that I have Julio and McLaurin and Robbie Anderson, you would trade Adams for Waller?
Yeah, and I would honestly do it before this week because I don't know if his value goes up or down if he continues to trend to be out.
All right, sounds good, man. Let's move on here. Enough about my leagues. I'm sure you guys don't really give a shit about our leagues. You're more concerned about yours. But in case you guys are wondering, there you go. You know what Rob thinks. John Brown was limited on Wednesday after popping up on the injury report with a groin injury, but he did practice in full Thursday. He still got the questionable tag, but he's going to be good to go. and juicy matchup against the Dolphins. We're going to talk about that later. Before moving into the matchups, today's show is sponsored by the memorabilia site PristineAuction.com. Hundreds of daily auctions for all different kinds of memorabilia. It is 100% free to join and free to bid, and you only pay when you win. And right now, you can get $5 off your first item by entering promo code SLEEPERWIRE. Visit PristineAuction.com to get this deal. That's P-R-I-S-T-I-N-E Auction.com. Well, moving into the matchups here, we do have four teams on bye this week. Panthers, Browns, Steelers, and Buccaneers, which means the human cheat code, Mr. Konami McCaffrey himself, is on bye, so you don't have him. Also, Curtis Samuel, DJ Moore, and Greg Olsen. For the Browns, you got Odell Beckham Jr., Nick Chubb, Steelers, Juju, and James Conner, even though you're probably not playing Juju anymore right now, which kind of sucks. And for the Bucks, Chris Godwin and Mike Evans. So there's a lot of fantasy points on bye this week, Rob.
That's a lot of fantasy points, and I hope you drafted or have picked up free agents up to this point to plan for these guys being out. I mean, if you're only going to lose 1 week because you have Christian McCaffrey, Nick Chubb, Chris Godwin, and Curtis Samuel, which is very possible the way this draft season fell, you could be chasing a lot of points off your bench right now, starting people like Frank Gore. You know, maybe you were lucky and got Terry McLaurin. You've been flexing him all year, but that's going to be some hard points to make up for.
Yeah, it will. But you know what? If you've got that roster, I think you're okay with one loss.
Yeah, I'd be all right with it.
Oh, guys, please make sure to check out the other shows that Sleeper Wire does during the week. We have the Sunday Blitz, where we answer start sit questions for about 2.5 to 3 hours on Sunday morning before the games start. We've got the Great Debate, comes out every Tuesday, helping you out with the waiver wire. The Weekend Recap Show on Mondays as well comes out on Tuesday. We also have another Tuesday show. We have three shows that come out on Tuesday, which is a little ridiculous. The Live Sleeper Waiver Show, just answering waiver wire questions live, call-in show, just like the Live Mail Sack Show. And then, of course, the Weekend Preview. A lot of stuff going on here at Sleeper Wire. So it looks like we do 6 shows a week. Man, that's plenty.
Definitely a lot of content for our listeners.
Yeah, that's plenty. It's a lot for us too. But hey, we make it work. Thursday night football, we have Kansas City Chiefs at the Denver Broncos. Going on right now, it is 10-6 as of us recording this right now. So we had the Mecole Hardman touchdown, had the Royce Freeman touchdown, the Phillip Lindsay failed 2-point conversion. Yeah. Hopefully this is going to be a good one. 16-point score through the first inning. First quarter. Yeah. Still got baseball on the mind.
What happened? What? Your Braves get eliminated?
Yeah, they did. But you know what? They didn't get swept. They would have beat the Nationals. The Cardinals, no. The Braves would have beat them. I'm just bitter. Anyways, Raiders at Packers. Josh Jacobs is the RB13 through 5 weeks. Still the RB17, even though he didn't play last week. So 17 through 6. Having a great season. He's well worth that third-round draft price that you paid for him. 4 touchdowns on the season, over 100 yards in Week 5 against the Bears, which was super surprising. 26 carries for 123 yards and 2 touchdowns. As we mentioned with Darren Waller, 37 catches and 359 receiving yards through the first 5 weeks of the season, averaging more than 7 catches per game. He was stumbling all over my words. I need to drink more happy juice here. Through the first 5 weeks, tight end 6, just awesome. And again, good for him getting his money. Now this week, Rob, do you have any interest in playing any Raiders wide receiver? Obviously not Tyrell Williams, but Hunter Renfrow or Zay Jones?
No. No, I'm going to stay away from that crapshoot this week. I want to see how things shake out with Zay Jones out there. I like that, you know, Buffalo got rid of him. If they're going to use John Brown, don't keep Zay Jones. So he gets a chance to go over there to Oakland and kind of profile as that Antonio Brown-like receiver that they haven't had. So eventually I might be interested, but not this week.
Yeah, I mean, good for him for getting another opportunity. Remember that hotel incident that we had early in the offseason?
No, what the hell happened?
He fought his brother in the hallway of a hotel, and it was caught on camera, shirtless, like punching windows and walls and stuff like that.
No, I missed the whole Zay Jones. I missed that part.
We'll have to look that up after the show. Yeah, pretty crazy.
I saw the video of him standing up like a magic man. Some Michael Jackson dance move.
Aaron Rodgers in this matchup. Are you going to play him? He's been awful.
If I can help it. That's for damn sure. He's been terrible.
Doesn't have any of his wide receivers. Davante Adams, still questionable. Do you expect him to play as of Thursday night?
No. No, I do not. I think Davante Adams is out this week, and hopefully, you know, it's the extra rest he needs to come back healthy next week. Because, damn it, I miss him.
Yeah, same here. Thinking about trading him for Waller.
Yeah.
Is Alan Lazard a thing? 4 catches, 65 yards, and a touchdown. Aaron Rodgers did have really good things to say about him, but, I mean, he was the only receiver he had anything to say about, so.
Yeah, but at the same time, Alan Lazard is also a monster of a man. He is a true behemoth. I think he's somewhere in the neighborhood of 6'5", 220, 230, something like that. And he's got hands. I actually was hoping the Ravens would draft him like late in the draft last year, and it didn't happen, obviously. And I'm glad to see he made it into the NFL and got a chance because he's an intriguing talent. But, being as though he's pretty much the only healthy option, I would like a little bit of Alan Lazard, especially if I'm sitting Davante Adams on my bench again.
Aaron Jones lost a fumble and dropped a wide-open touchdown pass this last week. He was outplayed by Jamal Williams significantly, even though they basically split snaps and touches. 14 carries for 104 yards, 4 catches for 32 yards, and a touchdown for Jamal Williams. Just looked really good. Let's move to Rams at Falcons. Do you think this could be the highest-scoring game of the week? I'm calling that it is.
If the Rams offense shows up, it sure damn well could be.
I mean, I don't see how they won't show up against the Falcons.
Jared Goff was bad.
I'll talk more about Goff last week. Towards the end of the show. Hint, hint.
Yeah.
But this is two good offenses, one going against a really bad defense in the Falcons. Todd Gurley was limited this week. Not sure if he'll be back this week or not. If he's out, there's also, I didn't put this earlier, but Malcolm Brown been injured as well. If both of them are out, are you starting Daryl Henderson?
Only if I have to. Only if the chips have fallen in a way that I can't play any other running back right now. But I would try to avoid it. He's already.
It's Henderson versus the Falcons. What about Henderson or Frank Gore versus the Dolphins?
Frank Gore versus the Dolphins.
With Singletary back.
Frank Gore versus the Dolphins. Start everybody versus the Dolphins.
Carlos Hyde.
I'd probably start Carlos Hyde.
Okay.
And getting good volume.
I agree. Yep. All right, so Daryl Henderson, someone who you're not really as concerned about.
No, I'm not going to waste waiver priority or free or any fab on him.
Okay.
That would not be my play.
I did get a Yahoo alert that more than 20,000 people dropped Malcolm Brown after last week. Yet people did not want anything to do with him. Jared Goff, as you mentioned, was absolutely horrible. Just 24 passing attempts for 78 yards. No touchdowns. He was sacked 4 times. Awful. However, I think you can fire up all Rams receiving options in this one. Cooper Kupp, Jared Goff, Brandon Cooks, even Gerald Everett. I think the Rams are going to be able to put up a bunch of points. Matt Ryan, huge week last week. 356 yards and 4 touchdowns. Only 1 pick over the last 3 weeks after starting out with 6 interceptions in the first 3 games. Been over 300 passing yards every game this season, so he's playing really, really well. 3 or more passing touchdowns in 4 of the 6 games, only 1 game with 0 touchdowns. That was week 4 against Tennessee, but still threw for 397 yards. Matt Ryan or Deshaun Watson?
Oh, boy. To answer that, honestly, I'd have to look at both of their rest of season schedules. But just off the top of my head, I'm going to go kind of a surprising answer, and that's Matt Ryan. He quietly did this all season last year to be the QB2 in fantasy. So I kind of see him doing the same thing again this year, where he's quietly but consistently just putting up 22-plus fantasy points every week. So you really can't argue with the every week performance when Deshaun Watson goes off and, you know, God bless, I love him. He's a great talent. But I just think Matt Ryan's a little more consistent.
Yeah, I can totally agree with that. Devonta Freeman, 19 for 88 on the ground, 3 for 30, and 2 touchdowns through the air. Had a good week. Devonta Freeman or, well, I'm not sure why I put this. I said Devonta Freeman or Malcolm Brown. I think the answer is Devonta Freeman. I think that was a typo in the notes. Let's. What about Freeman or Gore?
Wow. You know that Rams defense hasn't been quite as good as it was in years past, so... Man, Frank Gore is just so freaking tempting, man. Yeah,
Singletary is there, though.
Yeah, but, I mean, Singletary is going to get 7 touches and have 120 yards and a touchdown.
So, Singletary or Gore? Let me ask you that.
Ooh. If I need upside, I think I'm going to play Singletary, but the solid floor will be Gore. I mean, Gore is going to get the bulk of the volume there, regardless of whether Singletary's there or not. They just aren't handing him the ball too frequently. I mean, they're getting him around 10 touches, and he's extremely efficient, so they don't need to risk him anymore, especially after just coming back and off an injury.
Yeah, I like it. Julio Jones is an auto start. I think he comes back strong this week. Austin Hooper, absolute must start again. I tried to trade for him, couldn't get him, no surprise. 42 catches, 480 yards, and 3 touchdowns on the season. He's had at least 6 catches in 5 of 6 weeks so far. Over 100 yards twice. Got a 2-point conversion in there. It's been awesome. Calvin Ridley or Mohamed Sanu?
Man, that's tough. Sanu has been good this year. And actually, I think he's actually doing a little better than he was last year. But I like the upside of Ridley. He's always got big play potential. So again, that's probably going to depend on where I'm at in the week. If I need upside, I'm playing Calvin Ridley for sure. But Mohamed Sanu, I think, is your safe floor play.
Yep, I like that. 49ers at Redskins. Man, this 49ers defense is legit. Matt Breida and Tevin Coleman both look really good. George Kittle was did not practice Wednesday with a groin injury, but he finally got going well the last couple weeks. 6 for 70 and a touchdown and an 18-yard rush. 2 weeks ago, 8 catches for 103 yards on 8 targets last week. Looking good. I am happy to say in our Sleeper Wire Dynasty League, it's a 2 tight end league, I do have both Hooper and Kittle. Wow. That's pretty great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I bet you are spanking the competition right now just I am on not. Your tight end alone.
Oh. I'm 1-5.
Oh.
Yep. My running backs, not great. So I knew I had to do some work in the draft this year. I was able to get Montgomery and Singletary and Alexander Mattison, but it's more the long play.
Yeah.
I've got OBJ and Mike Evans, but OBJ's not doing shit. So
yeah, that's, you know, in years past that would have been like, you know, dominant, but
yeah,
this year, not so much.
Yeah, not so much this year, but you know what? Playing for next year. First pick.
But Kittle is definitely the icing on the cake in a bad situation there.
Yeah.
I definitely think that's the 149er to own right now. As pass catchers, not as running backs.
Well, aside from Breida and Coleman.
Yeah, not running backs. Yep. Pass catchers.
And that was gonna be my next question. Do you want any other receiving options? And my answer is no. They've got no reason to throw the ball.
No. And no excellent quarterback throwing it. What the hell's going on with Jimmy Garoppolo, man?
Yeah,
he's not
running the ball's working.
Yes. Don't fix what ain't broke.
Exactly. Let's see here. Terry McLaurin back to his superstar ways, it appears. 2 more touchdowns last week. I can't see him slowing down. Let me ask you this. With these wide receivers, DJ Chark or Terry McLaurin rest of season?
DJ Chark only because I'm fairly certain that Gardner Minshew, it's his job to lose at this point. And I don't know that Nick Foles is going to get the reins back if he's able to come back this year. And I'd rather have the certainty of one quarterback than the possibility of 3 different.
Okay. I like it. I'm taking Chark as well. I think I like his rest of season schedule better than McLaurin. Chris Thompson got hurt last week, so AP had a really good day. 23 carries for 118 on the ground, 2 for 18 through the air. Didn't get into the end zone, but 23 carries was awesome to see. That said, he may still get that workload this week, but this San Francisco defense is pretty great. Is he worth a flex?
If you're devastated by the bye week shuffle and some injuries, absolutely. If that's what you're down to, I don't think it's going to be horrific, but it ain't going to be pretty.
Let me ask you, if Chris Thompson's out, AP or Frank Gore.
Frank Gore.
Frank Gore is going to be my baseline for all of these questions here.
The Infinity Stone.
Breaking news: Pat Mahomes is hurt.
What?
Yep. Sleeper alert just came through.
Well, I have your show notes up on my phone, and my TV's behind me, and you get to watch it, and you just feel so left out.
Oh, man, life's rough, buddy.
It is. Gosh.
Well, let's talk about a more fun team. Colts. Texans travel to Indianapolis to take on my Indianapolis Colts. Deshaun Watson has just been playing, getting it done. Let's look at this. Let's look at this play here real quick. Oh, Mahomes, he QB sneak, and then everybody just fell on him. That's not good. They're stretching out his knee. It looks like they just popped something back into place. Back to Deshaun Watson, though. After 426 passing yards and 5 touchdowns against the Falcons, he was 280 for 1 and 2 rushing touchdowns last week. Carlos Hyde, as we said, been getting work. Over 20 carries 3 times this season. 26 for 116 yards and a touchdown last week. He's got 3 touchdowns on the season. However, this Colts defense just shut down Kansas City 2 weeks ago, and I think most people, not me, but most people would argue that Damian Williams is more talented than Carlos Hyde. Colts shut him down. You think the Texans can get it going against the Colts?
I think the Texans bring a different game. The Chiefs are a little more passing attack, run a bunch of motion and distract you, get players open in open space, which I think the Colts cover well. They are really fast linebacking core and fast defense. But I don't know if they'll match up against the Texans in the same way. DeAndre Hopkins is a machine. That man can catch balls with his hand against his rump. That's unseen talent before at the position. You got Will Fuller, who obviously is a beast. I just don't think that we're looking at the same profile offense. So do they have the capacity to shut him down? Sure, but I don't think they will. I'm sorry, Chris. I know it's your home team.
It's all right. I just want to throw a big suck at George. Carlos Hyde's better than Damian Williams.
Suck it.
Yep. I'm going to keep saying it every single week, too. Definitely start DeAndre Hopkins and Will Fuller this week. They both usually have solid games against the Colts. Jacoby Brissett, he is finally not my stream of the week. I think I probably would have been okay with that, but I found a better one. Marlon Mack has looked amazing. He's the RB16 through the first 5 weeks, putting up some huge games in there. 29 for 132 yards against the Chiefs in week 5. T.Y. Hilton's back and healthy and ready to go. Tight ends this week are pretty bleak. I mean, we lost Will Disley. We got Greg Olsen on bye. Let's see. We also got O.J. Howard, if anybody was still playing him. Ricky Seals-Jones, Vance McDonald, and those are like more deep leagues. So if you have to run to the waiver wire because you have a guy on bye or you lost Will Disley, would you take Jack Doyle or Eric Ebron?
I think I like the consistency of Doyle over the upside of Ebron for a waiver pickup on a tight end, but you know that Ebron has those games in him where he's going to catch a touchdown or two, and Jack Doyle seems to be more the PPR, six for 60 kind of tight end.
What about Doyle or Darren Fells?
Well,
same matchup.
Didn't you guys do that for the great debate this week?
We did. I'm asking you.
I thought I was dodging it. Well, yeah, I think I would take I feel dirty saying it, but I think I would take Darren Fells.
I think I'm going to go with Doyle. I'm not excited about it, though.
They aren't great options, but they are options.
Yep. Let's move on. Vikings at Lions. Kirk Cousins finally broke out. 4 touchdowns last week. 1 to Adam Thielen, 3 to Stephon Diggs, who had 7 catches for 167 yards on 11 targets. And something that, you know, I listen to a lot of other fantasy football podcasts just because I like hearing different opinions. And, you know, there's some guys that, you know, I really enjoy listening to. Haven't seen anyone talk about this. He was just missed on a 4th touchdown as well on a drive that I think resulted in a field goal. It was about a yard too far, another huge bomb. It would have put him over 200 yards, 4 touchdowns. It would have been damn near what Will Fuller did last week and just missed him. So I don't think that gets brought up enough. So it looks like the targets are absolutely back from Kirk Cousins to Stephon Diggs. Dalvin Cook, auto start, we know that. Lions, of course, got robbed Monday. You've heard that, you know, all over. Yeah, sorry, Lions fans. Tough shit, you know.
Yep. It happens. Oh, well.
Yep. The Colts have played the Patriots long enough to know that Patriots get all the calls, too. So Green Bay and New England. There we go. This is a division game at home in Detroit, which these ones are hard to predict. Would you say, if you had to make a call, high scoring or low scoring?
Vikings at Lions.
Yep.
You know what? I think that's going to be over 20 points each team. Both of those offensives has actually started to click. So I think we're going to see more out of that game than Vegas expects.
See, I was thinking more like 22-17. Something like that.
I can see that. I can see that.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be that high scoring. I do think the Vikings pull this one out. Kerryon Johnson had low yardage last week, but he did get into the end zone for you. TJ Hockenson continues to drop touchdowns. Are Marvin Jones or Kenny Golladay in your lineup this week against the Vikings?
Kenny Golladay, yes. Marvin Jones is not exactly been a consistent play this year. So if you're putting him in your lineup, you're kind of crossing your fingers and hoping that's the week he's going to catch a couple touchdowns. A
couple bombs.
Yep.
Gross match of the week. Jacksonville Jaguars at Cincinnati Bengals. Leonard Fournette and DJ Chark got to play these guys. Both have been top 10 at their respective positions this season. If Didi is good to go, I think you can throw him out there too. Seems to have gained some chemistry with Gardner Minshew, which I'm sure will get brought up later. The Jaguars did just trade Jalen Ramsey to the Rams, so their defense does take a hit. Is that good for Auden Tate and Tyler Boyd? Their pass rush is – Jacksonville's pass rush is still going to be able to get to Andy Dalton. So, Tate and Boyd, you throwing them out there?
If you're relying on them, you have to. But Boyd is somebody that didn't look great against the Ravens with their depleted secondary. But I think Auden Tate's actually the guy that – if you have to start one, Auden Tate's the guy that I'm putting my money on.
Yeah, I'm leaning that way as well. I think now we can also start talking about benching Joe Mixon. Are you going to play him this week against the Jaguars?
I am legitimately trying not to. I played Royce Freeman, and he got in the end zone, so I'm feeling good about it so far because that's more hope than Joe Mixon has given me early in a game all freaking season, man, all season. And it's just frustrating because you know the talent, and he's just not getting used. I think they have him running, I saw a stat today, 7 routes per game. Not 7 targets, 7 routes. Like, we know Joe Mixon can line up all over the formation and run just like Le'Veon Bell did a couple years ago with the Steelers and what he's doing now with the Jets. I mean, Joe Mixon really can do the same kinds of things, and they aren't using him that way. I guess Zach Taylor just hasn't figured out a way to work that into the offense, which is confusing because he seems like the piece that you would want to focus on with so much, you know, lacklusterness around. Is that politically correct?
Lacklusterness. Yeah, I like it. Oh, let's move on. Another gross game that could end up being a lot of fun and pretty high scoring. Arizona Cardinals at New York Giants. Kyler Murray looks like the top 10 QB that we all wanted him to be, and he is quarterback 7 on the season. David Johnson did not practice Wednesday, but he was out there on Thursday. If he happens to miss, Chase Edmonds is a must play, right? Against the Giants?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Chase Edmonds is looking good in the opportunity he's getting. So I would imagine that you're going to see a real hungry runner if he gets the starting nod because David Johnson's out.
Would you play – so this is all theoretical if David Johnson is out. Chase Edmonds or Leonard Fournette?
Leonard Fournette, and I think he has the opportunity. I have him ranked number one in, as my number one running back this week.
Okay.
Yep. Because that Bengals offense – or Bengals defense, run defense, is freaking terrible. Absolutely terrible. Lamar Jackson, who was an exceptional runner, but shredded him for 159 or 152 yards and a touchdown on the ground. And it didn't look like he was trying too hard. And I think Leonard Fournette, now that he's getting used in the passing game, is going to be above 20 points easily in PPR.
Holy hell, what a catch by Sutton. Damn. So, guys, this is what happens on the Thursday show. We're watching the game at the same time. I would say Fournette as well. Edmonds or Devonta Freeman?
I think I would play Chase Edmonds there. I think Kyler Murray may have heard me say that that was the game I didn't want to watch last week and said, well, F you, buddy. I'm going to beat your fantasy team. And he shat all over my face and played a great game and destroyed my fantasy team. It was not awesome. But go Kyler.
And one more. Edmonds or Kerryon?
I think I would take Chase Edmonds just because the Giants' defense is a little easier beaten than the Vikings.
All right. I think I would take Edmonds over Kerryon, but Freeman over Edmonds. Larry Fitzgerald, also a solid start in this one. Daniel Jones can be a good streaming option this week against that bad Cardinals defense. Evan Engram and Saquon Barkley were full participants in practice on Thursday, so they are full go. And you gotta play both of these guys. Golden Tate, huge game last week, 6 for 102 and a touchdown in his second game back from suspension. This one could be fun. It sounds gross, but it could be fun.
I think this is going to be this actually has an opportunity to be one of the higher scoring games of the week. Two rookie quarterbacks dueling it out, showing us what the future of the NFL could look like.
This next one's going to be not fun. Dolphins at Bills. Don't start any Dolphins.
Negative.
Devontae Parker has had a touchdown the last few weeks, but don't start any Dolphins. There's also rumors that Kenyon Drake going to be traded. They're shopping him.
Yeah, does that make Mark Walton somebody you want to pick up, Chris?
No.
No. Mm-mm. I don't want anything to do with the Dolphins offense. I played Preston Williams once this year, and I think he scored me like 9.5 points that week. And I quickly took him out of my lineup and got him the hell off my roster because I just don't trust that down there. So, no.
I will say I picked up Devontae Parker because bye weeks hit me real hard in the league with Hilton and Brown and John Brown out last week. But I also had Tyreek Hill, and I was waiting to see if he was going to play. And once I knew he was in, put him in, dropped Parker.
I did see a quote real quick. I'm sorry, Chris, to cut you off, but I saw a quote about Devontae Parker that he has been the only, I wish I could remember the exact word.
Oh, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah. He was the only player that's shown up all year and been any good.
Yeah. That was a sleeper alert that came through, or at least, that's where I saw it. And let me kind of talk meaninglessly as I go back and look through that. Let's talk about the Bills. John Brown, like we said, did practice on Thursday, had that groin injury Wednesday, but he's good to go. I think you can definitely fire him back up. Someone you're going to want to play. Cole Beasley also needs to be started. We've been talking about Frank Gore and Devin Singletary quite a bit, comparing guys to them. I think you can play both of them this season, or not this season, but this week.
Yes, yes. So do I. Absolutely. Actually, I think you could play both of them this season and this week. Probably. It should be a good week back for Devin Singletary since he's going to take on this, you know, vaunting Miami defense.
This is the quote from Brian Flores. Devontae Parker has become one of our most dependable players. He is on the right trajectory for us.
So I have a question. Does that mean he's sucking the appropriate amount or that he's actually doing well?
Depends on what they mean by dependable.
Yeah.
If they're looking for someone to suck, he's doing a great job.
That's a question I'm asking. We're here asking the tough questions, Chris.
Tank for Tua. Yeah. What about Dawson Knox at tight end? Playing Dawson Knox or Darren Fells?
Dawson Knox. I like Josh Allen's tight end.
What about Dawson Knox or Jimmy Graham?
I think Jimmy Graham was on the did not practice list, wasn't he?
I did not see that, but let's assume he plays.
If he was playing and fully healthy, I'm still playing. I think I'm taking Dawson Knox. Aaron Rodgers just hasn't proven consistent enough for me to start his pass catchers.
Okay. I think I would still take Graham. I like the Packers matchup against the Raiders. Chargers at Tennessee Titans, going to be a rough one. Probably not starting Phillip Rivers, especially after he didn't do anything against the Steelers at home last week. Melvin Gordon still needs time to shake the rust off. Do you think this is the week?
That Titans defense is brutal. I think it's going to be a tough week to be the one you come back and show the world what you can do. So I'd say you play Melvin Gordon, but you need to temper your expectations. Don't expect him to put up the massive numbers you know he can, but at least a decent RB2 for you this week.
Are you thinking the same thing about Eckler? I mean, it's clearly going to be a timeshare with Gordon. And this Titans defense is legit.
Yeah, I almost feel like I like Eckler a little bit more because of the running style. He's so small, he just gets going so fast. Melvin Gordon's a big dude and makes big man cuts and comes through the field like a big man. Austin Eckler is cutting right underneath all that garbage and making 10 yards before Melvin Gordon runs four. And it just seems like he's been more efficient when with the touches that he's getting. I think his elusiveness could prove to be useful against the Titans' big D.
So I think Austin Eckler has looked like what Damian Williams looked like at the end of last season.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good comparison.
And he's what people wanted Damian Williams to be this season.
Yeah, yeah, and look at how well that turned out. I definitely drafted Damian Williams in the third round at least one place. So,
guess how many shares of him I have?
Probably like 400. He's your favorite running back ever.
You've got two of those digits, right?
Yeah, so that's a big zero, double zero.
The goose big double egg. Zero. Yeah, listeners of the show know that I have none as well.
I know. You made me take him in the great debate, you son of a bitch.
Yeah, I sure as hell wasn't arguing for Damian Williams. What was that one? That was Damian Williams
Chubb.
Versus Nick Chubb. Yep, Nick Chubb. Oh, man. Yep. And I got
set me
so,
up for failure.
I got so much hate for like when I would post that in like Facebook groups because everybody was on the Damian Williams train. Oh, it's got to be Damian Williams. God. Blah, blah, blah. Nope. That was your first one, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was my first great debate, and I was actually better prepared for that one than I have been for any other after.
I should have let you choose for your first one.
That was a high water. That was my Gettysburg to the south.
There we go. Keenan Allen has slowed down with fantasy production, but you still got to be in your lineup. And what a return for Hunter Henry. 9 targets, 8 catches for 100 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Looking like the Antonio Gates type of tight end that we wanted him to be and that Rivers has been missing. Wow, we have a missed field goal here. Awesome. A lot of missed field goals this season, I feel like.
Yeah.
Hopefully Hunter Henry can stay healthy. Marcus Mariota benched for Ryan Tannehill. Oh, man. You know what? I actually think that this could be a good thing for Corey Davis.
I think it would be a good thing for A.J. Brown as well. I think we might actually get to see what A.J. Brown can do with consistent targets. I don't want to say consistent passer because that's Ryan Tannehill, not an actual professional. But, hey, they tried. You know, good effort, Titans. Yeah. We applaud you.
And you know what? Marcus Mariota is not a horrible quarterback, but – you know, maybe this is just him, let me play out the rest of my contract on the bench so I can go somewhere else, somewhere better.
Do you think any place better actually wants Marcus Mariota for any reason?
No.
Yeah, no.
No, maybe the Steelers if Big Ben retires.
Ooh, well, they got Mason Rudolph, who apparently can't take a punch, but throwing the ball pretty well, and they expect him to come back after this bye week and be starting. So in all seriousness, I'm very glad to hear that, you know, Mason Rudolph is all right and that, you know, he's not dead or anything. But
yep, for sure. Delanie Walker this week, do you like him?
Nope, sorry. He hasn't been fully healthy in a while this year. I think he was healthy week one, and that was about it. And I don't know that Ryan Tannehill is going to lean on Delanie Walker the same way that Mariota did. So I want to see it before I depend on it.
I like it. I do think that Delanie Walker is one of those guys, though. He's better than all the streaming options.
Yes, I do agree with that. I would not drop Delanie Walker to pick up another tight end that's on the wire right now.
What about Dawson Knox?
Yeah, I thought about that when I said it.
And maybe not drop Delanie Walker, but stream Dawson Knox over Delanie Walker.
I think I would, just because the Dolphins are just, you know, giving it up. Tank for Tua.
See, I don't. I think the Dolphins are going to be able to just – they're going to give up so much on the ground that the Bills aren't going to have to throw. I'm going to take Delanie Walker there.
I see the point. I see the point, but stay with Knox.
Baltimore Ravens at Seattle Seahawks. Lamar Jackson, only 236 passing yards last week, but damn, 19 carries for 152 yards on the ground with a rushing touchdown. This dude is a mediocre quarterback and a good running back at the same position. Had at least 66 rushing yards in 4 of 6 games this season, going over well over 100 yards twice. He had a 120 and a 152. Just looks awesome out there. Mark Ingram, 7 touchdowns on the season. He's only not scored in 2 games. Been really good. Mark Andrews, 6 for 99 last week. Hopefully this is him getting back to his week 1 and 2 ways after his little bit of an injury there. Marquise Brown did not practice Thursday. Hopefully he'll be good to go. Always like seeing Hollywood out there. If Brown is out, you going to pick up Willie Snead?
Well, Willie Snead, I think,
I don't expect you to say yes to that.
Yeah, actually, no, but I mean, I probably would just because I'm such a homer about that Ravens offense now that it's fantasy relevant again. No, man, as far as giving advice to the general fantasy football population, no, I would not go out and pick up Willie Snead to replace Marquise Brown. It's not the same kind of player. He will see more targets with Marquise Brown out. And he does have the touchdown upside, but I think Willie Snead's going to be touchdown dependent to give you a good fantasy week.
I was a little bit of a Willie Snead homer last week. Ball I played State. Him over DeFonte Parker in a league. Lost, but not because of that decision. I lost because of bye weeks. I seriously did not realize how many Bills and Colts really that I had. It's been rough. Yeah, so I did it because I had to, but I played Willie Snead hoping for the touchdown, which he did drop one. Got it knocked out.
Yes, he did. Yep.
So it would have been a good week. Russell Wilson is the quarterback 2 on the season. He's had at least 2 touchdowns in 5 of his 6 games, 3 touchdowns on the ground. He's regularly putting up 30-plus fantasy points. Chris Carson is the RB11 through 6 weeks, even in PPR. Over 100 yards each of the last 3, only 2 touchdowns on the ground, but he also has 2 through the air, 3 or more receptions in 4 of his 6 games. Definitely someone who's got to be put out there every single week. I think you can just rely on the touches, the volume to be there. Let's see. Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf. You excited about either one of these guys against the Ravens?
I like Tyler Lockett more than I like DK, but you're going to have a real hard time throwing against Marcus Peters, Jimmy Smith, Marlon Humphreys, Brandon Carr, Earl Thomas, and that secondary is freaking ridiculous. That's a serious nameplate back there. So I think you're going to see Tyler Lockett's probably the best option because he's got a chance to when it breaks down into that street ball, I think he's the guy that's going to be able to get away, get behind the defense, and go for a big play.
Any interest in Luke Wilson with Will Disley out for the season?
Only for the ironic Wilson to Wilson touchdown, but no.
Wilson to Wilson?
Wilson. I also love that song by Fish, but no, I don't actually like Luke Wilson as a prospective tight end for my fantasy team.
Nah, same here. If he is, he's one of those guys, it wasn't even a streaming option for me.
No.
Last afternoon game of the week, Saints at Bears. Alvin Kamara may be out this week. If so, any interest in playing Latavius Murray? The Bears defense is really good, we know that. But Josh Jacobs just put over 100 yards on the Bears before their bye week. I think the volume's going to be there for Latavius. If Alvin Kamara's out, I'm probably going to flex Latavius.
I would too, and a lot of that's got to do with Akeem Hicks being out as well. He went on the DL, so now we or IR, DL. Good Lord, you got me thinking baseball. yeah, he went on IR, so that's a huge piece in that middle of that defense as a run stopper that's out. So I kind of like the size of Latavius Murray getting angry, low on his shoulder, and picking up some yardage with, like you said, the high volume that you're going to see is the leading running back in the Saints offense led by Teddy Bridgewater.
Yeah. Man, Cortland Sutton looks great tonight. That's pretty good. I think I have him in the Pro-Am, which
aren't you glad you get to watch that?
Pretty awesome. Yeah, super glad I get to watch that. Oh, let's see here. Michael Thomas may be the only receiving option that I want to put out there against the Bears defense. At least 7 targets each week, at least 12 in 4 of 6 weeks, 89 yards or more in 5 of 6 games. Just looks super good. The Saints defense is good. David Montgomery, you interested in him at all?
I have to start him in a few leagues because it's how I drafted, and those are the options. I've got David Montgomery in bye weeks. And to be honest with you, I don't hate it, but I'm not expecting that to be my leading running back this week.
Would you play David Montgomery versus New Orleans or Adrian Peterson versus San Francisco?
I think I'm actually – and Mitch Trubisky starting this game, not Chase Daniel. Is that correct?
I think so.
Yeah, I think I would take David Montgomery. But not by a large margin.
Okay. Sounds good. That's a conundrum that I am struggling with. So I haven't made up my mind on that one yet. Is Allen the Robinson or Allen the Robinson? Yeah, that I like that. We're going to start calling it. Is Allen the Robinson the only wide receiver you'd want to start for the Bears? At least 6 catches in 4 of 5 games, 7 for 97 and 2 touchdowns against Oakland before the bye.
I think Anthony Miller is a decent waiver wire pickup. He hasn't really done much this season, and I was very wrong when I said he was going to overtake Allen Robinson. Good Lord. But he is a good sneaky play if you have a lot of guys on bye this week or are doing the injury ouch and shuffle. So, yeah, I would much rather start Allen Robinson, but if I'm down to the nuts and bolts, I think Anthony Miller is a sneaky sleeper.
Sunday night football, Eagles at Cowboys. Should be a fun primetime division matchup. Carson Wentz has been super solid this season. Who do you like in the running game for the Eagles, Jordan Howard or Miles Sanders?
Jordan Howard for the volume in the floor, Miles Sanders for the upside in the passing game.
See, I would say Jordan Howard has just as much upside. He got that 3-touchdown game.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he has the possibility of it. If that's the way the Eagles game runs that week, then he's definitely going to be the guy benefiting. I feel like he's more touchdown dependent, where Miles Sanders is only touchdown dependent. He hasn't really put up a stat line that's been independent of touchdowns fantastic this year, I don't believe. He's had some decent he's gotten over 10 points with some receptions and yardage. But if you take away the touchdown from that week, I think he still scores under 10 points PPR.
Yeah, I think I'm taking Jordan Howard here.
I would too.
Alshon Jeffrey with a big touchdown last week. Zach Ertz has been pretty good. The targets are still mostly there, but Dallas Goedert has been playing a bunch of snaps, like 50% of them. Are both tight ends playable in fantasy?
I would prefer Ertz, but yeah, well, I would say so.
Well, yeah, of course you would prefer Ertz. Is Dallas Goedert a streaming option?
I mean, if we're going to say that, you know, both are playable, then yeah, I'd have to stand by what I just said.
Well, let's say Goddard or Doyle or Fells.
Oh man. I think they're all touchdown dependent, so give me Fells. I think he's got the best opportunity at scoring a touchdown.
I think I would play Goddard. I think he's got just as good an opportunity, more targets, and a touchdown. Dak Prescott been pretty awesome for fantasy. Hopefully Amari Cooper is back. Still not practicing, but when Amari Cooper's in there, that is good for the Cowboys, that is good for Dak, and that is good for fantasy. And it's also good for Michael Gallup, who's been a target machine some weeks this season when Amari Cooper's been in the lineup. Jason Witten is the tight end 12 on the season. Let's say Witten or Dallas Goedert.
Ooh, Witten, actually. I like Dallas Goedert. I just don't like that he's so up and down. I would love him to be on my best ball team. I would not want to manage him week to week.
Witten or Dawson Knox?
Dawson Knox this week.
Yeah, I think I'm going with that one as well. Monday Night Football. Man, I am sick of seeing the Patriots on primetime. I feel like every game they've had this season has been a primetime game.
Yeah.
Like, isn't this the third one?
Them and the freaking Cowboys, man, just seem to get all the airtime.
The Patriots had a Thursday night and a Sunday night already, didn't they?
Yeah. Yep. I think
I feel like they have.
I think you're right. But they are, you know, it's Tom Brady, 6 Super Bowls, so.
Yeah. 6 asterisks. Heyo, Tom Brady, quarterback 8 on the season. He's a must start against the Jets, even if it's on the road, right?
Oh yeah. I'm sorry, but the Jets defense may be good, but you know how well Belichick schemes both sides of the ball to just be freaking amazing.
Yep. Sony Michel or James White or neither?
I think both actually can be viable this week. You're going to see Sony Michel because I think the Patriots are going to tear the Jets up. It's going to be a lot to do with Sony Michel getting some volume, breaking away some yards. The things that do scare me about that a little bit, CJ Mosley saying he's going to be back, Quinnen Williams be back. Got some bigger guys that are good run stuffers. So I think James White's good for that reason, and Sony Michel is just going to get the volume and the goal line work.
I think it's a Sony game. Julian Edelman, autoplay in PPR leagues, especially in a primetime matchup. Man, it's good. I might have to turn the volume off. Booger talking about how great the Patriots are all night.
Yeah, I'm not going to be able to handle that. I'm not a huge Booger fan to begin with, but oh, hell no.
Sam Darnold came back last week. He was pretty good. Robbie Anderson, 8 targets, 5 catches, 125 yards, and a touchdown. Nice game back with Sammy. Jamison Crowder saw 9 targets, 6 catches for 98 yards. Looks like now that Darnold is back, Crowder is now a good PPR play again. Let's talk about these two guys. If you had them both, who would you rather play, Robbie Anderson or Jamison Crowder?
Against the Patriots, it's going to be Jamison Crowder. I think they're really going to try and take away the long ball of Robbie Anderson. That's going to be the focus of the Patriots' D, is keeping him contained from getting behind the defense. But, man, is he fast.
What about rest of season?
Give me Robbie Anderson.
Yep, same here. And, of course, you are playing Le'Veon Bell. Not even a question. Don't have to talk about that. He's a stud. That's going to wrap it up for the matchups. Let's move into our streaming quarterbacks. I'm going to kick it off here. Mine is Jared Goff. Listen, I know he's 91% owned, but if you own Goff, you most likely have another quarterback on your roster because you haven't wanted to play Jared Goff. Throwing him out there versus the Falcons is going to be awesome this week, and who knows, maybe someone was pissed off last week and dropped him after, you know, his no-touchdown 78-yard performance. I think Jared Goff is going to be pretty great. Rob, give me your streaming cutie.
Well, I'm going to take a throwback to the mustache ride and go with Mr. Gardner Minshew. I think he has a great bounce-back week against this leaky Bengals secondary and defense as a general. In general, and again, I think he helps facilitate Leonard Fournette being the RB1 of this week.
All right. Wasn't he yours last week, too?
Yeah, I believe he was, and it was or was it 2 weeks ago? Did they have a bye last week?
No, it was last week because you put Mishnu in the notes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, my misspelling caused him to take a massive misstep. I won't make that mistake again, sir.
I will say, last week I said stream Kirk Cousins. That worked out pretty well.
Yeah, way to go, guy.
Listen to me. Shout out to the other shows in the Sleeper Wire Network, the awesome Break from the Grind guys, George and Jason over there, On Beat, hosted by him, Rob himself, our producer Rob right here, Dynasty Wire, the Fantasy Fam, and the Fantasy Champs. Please follow us on Twitter at Sleeper Wire Show. Rob is on there at esorbor1, and I am prof_chrissw. And then you can find us on the Sleeper app at East Sorbor and at Professor Chris. And make sure to follow us on Facebook at Sleeperwire Fantasy Football Club. Rob, thank you so much for joining me this week. Everybody else, thanks for tuning in. We'll catch you next week.